all belong here.
Mama!
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord.
It is time for the word.
Oh, yes.
Crossing through the controversies of the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're bringing in his own way, and I'm excited to hear.
Yes.
All right. It's the same.
Amen, amen. I need to give a special word of thanks to the choir and the band.
Yeah!
Amen. 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 We have an outstanding vocals group and also an outstanding musical group. Amen. And so we thank God for all that he does here at St. Timothy. Amen.
Amen.
So we're not going to prolong the time. We're going to go right ahead. You all know we've been talking about some different things in preparation for turning the corner into the holiday season such as it is. And a lot of things get a little bizarre during this time of year. And there's a lot of things in the world that are a little strange, I would even add, at this time. Amen? So I think that it's a good thing to prepare the church. And the church is the people who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the things that are going on in the world. So that's what some of these most recent messages have been about. And we're going to go ahead today with another installment, if you will, into some of these things that we've been talking about. Amen. Hopefully you've been enriched somewhat and put at ease in some cases, and sometimes even set on fire for stuff you need to do that's coming up. Like, it's a good thing to have a... the situation like Jeremiah, he kept getting put down. And every time he spoke up, they cast him down and ended up throwing him into prison. And he said, I'm just going to quit talking about the Lord, because every time I open my mouth, I get in trouble. But he said, I couldn't do it, because it was like fire shut up in my bones. See, so we hope you have that fire in your bones to speak up for the Lord when the right time comes. Amen. Because that would be a good thing. Amen. But in either case, let's go ahead today. I want to read a few verses. Y'all notice the Lord has been keeping me in Zechariah in the Old Covenant. So let's read a few verses here from the 12th chapter of Zechariah. You can stand and stretch your legs a little bit there. And then we have some New Testament verses that I want to share in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Zechariah will be chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. Amen. So let us read this together. Zechariah 12 and 6. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And he shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Amen. Now that's quite a set of verses there, speaking about some things going to happen in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the famous city. Amen. Now let's take a minute here and read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 to 17. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. You may be seated in the sanctuary. We have read the New Covenant, Word of the Lord. And this is for the people of God. Amen. That would be anyone who trusts and believes the name of Jesus Christ entirely for their salvation. Amen.
Amen.
That make any difference where you come from, how you got here. God has leveled the playing field. He says, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, his son shall not perish. So I want to talk just a few minutes this afternoon about prospering through the controversies of the end times. Prospering through the controversies of the end times. Now nobody knows. Jesus said the day or the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. So we don't set any dates. We don't know when it will be. We don't know the day or the hour, but God has given us some things to look at. Some signs that he said these things will be the signs of the times.
Okay.
So as we see those things, you know, and they kind of all center in on Israel. And we've been seeing that in the news. So this is kind of somewhat of the impetus for my reasoning. And my prayer is to ask God what to do to prepare the church for the end times. Now we live in a time with mass media. You can get actually people distribute messages from their cell phones. There are hardly any more times when news, used to be news anchors and reporters would break stories. They would break it because they were the only ones that could get it out to the public real quick. Now stories are breaking on people's cell phones and on internet, on Facebook and on Twitter and all kinds of places. Things are happening. People have the same type of an ability to put out a message as it used to be. ABC, NBC, and only the big networks could do that. You know, it was restricted how information flowed. And now today, people are getting stories. You see clips from people's cell phone on TV, and the news anchor say, we got this clip, and it came from so-and-so because he was at the scene. So people are actually breaking news stories. Breaking news is coming off the streets everywhere around the planet.
Yes, it is.
Mass media is being distributed everywhere around the planet. So this is a different kind of a world than it was at the time when the scriptures were written. But God knew that it would be like that. And I say that because this is part of what produces some of the controversies you hear. Because the word is coming from any old source. It used to be there was a certain standard for journalism. A person, in order to be a journalist, had to have a certain standard of how he did things. And they still do. You know what? This is the part that's amazing here. One big difference is that journalists are still restricted to some particular things they have to do. Folks on the street are not.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? They can publish anything. And it can go global or viral, as they call it. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a big change in the way things are compared to the way they used to be. No filter. Boom, here it is. And they put it out there with all the filth, whatever it is. I mean, they can cuss. They can do whatever they want to do. They can show vulgar things and all kinds of stuff news media can't do. Not that we suggest that they should or that that's any good thing. But it's true. It's just a true fact which adds controversy to the way things are in our day that didn't exist some time back. It took a while for information to disseminate long time ago. That was one of the reasons why God did what he did at the Tower of Babel that you read about in the book of Genesis, because they all spoke the same language and they all could understand everything everybody said. So wickedness grew quicker because of the fact that there was no filter and everything was easily transmitted to all the people. And so God is the one who introduced languages. And he did that in order to slow down the progress of sin, if I can call it progress. I should say the digress of sin. See, he slowed it down because now if you're scattered, you can't all talk together. It's going to take you a while to figure that one out. So that's why it's called Babel. See, and so it took, and it did a good job, all the languages. People wonder why are there so many languages, and there is no rational reason except the judgment of God. That's why I tell you, be careful when you talk to people today who try to tell you that you should speak in some tongue you don't know. Be careful. I'm not saying there aren't tongues, because we all speak in a tongue. That's why you have one. English is a tongue. Slang on the street is another language. I mean, there's a lot of languages. But be careful when people start talking with you about ecstatic language and all that. That's one of the controversies of the end times. Because where the languages can't come from? They came from a judgment from God against people who were doing wickedness. And I'm going to do this to slow you down. You know why? Because I just destroyed the whole place not long ago with a flood. It's only been a little bit past then, and you folks are back going to evil continually again, like you did before. And I already promised it ain't going to be no flood no more. See, no more of that. Set a rainbow in the cloud that was a promise of my covenant. Won't be any destruction by water anymore. See, next time it's going to be by fire. See, and so we need to be careful, but be careful how you do it. And realize this, God wants you to know the truth, and he loves you. And languages basically were a judgment against sinners. So be careful with the languages. But I want to, this is one of the controversial things that I want to mention, that he says here in that day, looking at Zechariah, that I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood. Now, what picture do you get there? Hearth of fire, what's going to happen to the wood? It's going to be burned up. So he's saying, I'm giving some strength to the governors, that's the controllers or rulers of Judah, like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. Either one of them is going to end up in total destruction. The fire is going to destroy the sheath. The fire is going to destroy the wood. See that? That's why it says, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. That's the way of saying everywhere. All around. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Now I mention that because the setting for this, or the backdrop for this, has to be Israel in Jerusalem. And that's what just happened recently in the news. Israel became the capital. Jerusalem, let's say, became the capital of Israel once again, as it had been. So that's a necessity for this prophecy to be true. And we see that that has happened in our time, 70 years after they went back into the land.
Yes,
it has. The Lord shall also, it says here, save the tents of Judah first. Now notice he says tents. That's a temporary portable dwelling.
Temporary.
That the glory of the house of David, which was the king, the great king of Israel, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is why I took time to have you understand we need to keep our eye on Jerusalem and on Israel, because God uses it as a timepiece to recommend to the world where he is in his prophetic plan. So it was not an incident that it was pronounced that Jerusalem will become the capital of Israel once again. So this kind of keys us in, this text here in the ancient text of Zechariah, keys us in on what time that we are going to be in. Keep this this in mind too, just another note in case you didn't know, somebody may not, that Jerusalem has not been the capital of Israel since about 70 AD. See, because Jesus said it's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be torn down, taken apart stone by stone, and hasn't been a temple there since. So a temple is coming. That's already on the plans. It's on the books now. And Jerusalem has to be the place where it is. Why? Because the lesson we had before a couple of weeks back said that the Antichrist must be revealed. The son of perdition. And how is he going to do that? He's going to go into the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, there's going to be a human being energized by Satan who's going to go into the temple that is built and proclaim himself to be God. See, and we see a lot of things moving in that direction. So this is why I'm calling this prospering through the controversies of the end times, because we are coming to the end times. We can tell by the signs that we see that the Lord has told us. He told them about the destruction of Jerusalem. It was perfectly accurate. Jesus spoke that prophecy about 35 years before it happened.
Yes, he did.
And because he was crucified in 35, roughly 33 to 35, they say. But he said this just before he was crucified. And he said, don't you know that there won't be left here one stone upon another that won't be thrown down? Because the disciples said, oh, look at these wonderful buildings of the temple. And they were in awe of how the temple had been made. And Jesus said, don't you know that there won't be one stone left upon another that won't be thrown down? And that happened in 70 AD after Jesus had died and been raised from the dead. And the church had been established and had been going on about 35 years. Then there was a great destruction from Rome. Came down to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, set it on fire, and they picked all the stones apart to pluck all the little bits of gold that melted in the temple down into the stones. That's why they trampled and threw the stones everywhere. We got to get that gold down in there. We saw something like that happen in our time. There was a gold reserve up on one of the 100th floor, I think, in the World Trade Center. And when the towers got destroyed, they were picking through there trying to find that gold. When they found the gold, they said, okay, bulldoze the rest of the people. It was an outcry from the public. You have a lot of nerve. All you were after was the gold. What about people that might still be in there? See? And so there's a big outcry even in our time about a similar type of thing. And y'all know about that. If you were, some of you were here when 9/11 happened, and you understand there was a lot of that, but a whole lot of people went in because there was a big gold reserve in there. So that shows you one thing. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See what I'm saying? So people do some evil stuff. We want the gold, but forget the people. Just bulldoze the rest of that. That's the way they were saying. It's like, boy, there was an outcry from the people over that. Another story for another time. So what we want to do is, how do you and I, as the church, get the right idea about what's going on right now? Should we be scared? No. Don't be scared. Why? Because you have insight. God has given you insight to what's going on. Just like he told those disciples, expect this temple to be torn down. What do you think they thought when they start seeing the Romans coming in, burning and setting it on fire? He said, I told you before, behold. So you'll know when this happens, that understand that, you know, I told you. And so you should have some peace in the midst of trouble. Because you should expect to see it be torn down. It was a hard thing for them to imagine. Why are people going to come tear the temple down? It's been here all my life since I was born. And he said it's going to be torn down. And they saw exactly what Jesus said. See that? Because the church was still around, even it continues on until today. But let's say the apostolic church was still around when the temple was destroyed. The book of Hebrews that we're studying on Tuesday was written to some Hebrews who were still worshiping in the temple. See, before the epistle was written. So it's very important for you to see that. And then understand that the fact is Jesus gives perfect accuracy through his spirit. So Zechariah, going on, let's get back here. I want to get these thoughts in so we'll have time to talk about the meaning of it. In that day, he says here, in verse number 8, shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. The most feeble person will be like King David. Of course, when Zechariah writes this, David has been long in the grave, and the house of David shall be his God. See that? As the angel of the Lord before them. You know, that's power there. So in other words, I'm still keeping a promise to Israel, even though they rejected me. Think about that. Israel rejected Messiah when he came. Mm-hmm. Crucified him.
Yeah.
See? But God says, you know what? I made a promise to Abraham. I'm still keeping my promise.
Mm-hmm.
And your rejection of my son does not stop me from fulfilling the promise that I made to Abraham.
Amen.
Still going to be coming through, even though you did what you did. You know what? I knew you would do it already. That's why I wrote it in the book.
Amen.
See, so fulfilled prophecy is a thing that ought to give you some comfort and some assurance.
Oh, yeah.
Because God told you exactly what was going to happen. I'm going to come in the flesh. You're going to find me guilty and crucify me.
Uh-huh.
And it's written in the book.
Yes, it is.
And you're so blind trying to be so spiritual, which you think you are,
mm-hmm.
that you don't even see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? We told you that was where I gave it a term myself, which I've never heard another one, which I said that's innocuous compliance.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, without knowing what you're doing, you're doing exactly what I told you, that what I've written in the book already.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what's happening. So we see that, and you and I can see it. You know why you see it? Because you have faith.
Yes.
And you believe, and the Holy Spirit is telling you this is what God does. Said the Lord, and I believe it, so I can hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
See, so even when I hear about stuff like, well, Israel is now going back to Jerusalem, okay, I know that because God already told me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You're not surprising me. The press all said, oh, that hasn't been since 70 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, y'all know the dates, but you don't believe in Christ.
Amen.
There's something wrong with your faith.
Yes, it is.
You got faith in Almighty Dollar,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have faith in Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
See, God gave His Son, wrote it in the book. You don't even know it's in there because you don't believe that the Bible is the truth.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yes.
And so here God is telling you more. Here, let's read on a little bit more. It shall come to pass, verse 9, in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Read that now.
Yeah.
That come against Jerusalem. That's why I said this morning in the prayer, we don't have to worry about Putin,
mm-hmm.
or Ahmadinejad, or any of those folks,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump. Y'all are not going to destroy the world.
Mm-mm.
The Lord said, I,
that's right.
I'm going to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. Vengeance is mine, He said.
Mm-hmm.
I shall repay.
Mm-hmm.
So God's going to wipe out the people who come against His people.
Mm-hmm.
Against Jerusalem. See, that's why I told you so many times, you need to understand Jerusalem is the focal point of what God is planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't overlook the fact that, and think about how tiny it is. Y'all hear me say that all the time. Some of you who study with me regularly.
Yeah.
It's the little bitty old state of Israel that will fit right inside of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And God has made that little bit of real estate the focal point of the future of the world.
Isn't that something?
Better understand that.
Yeah.
This is why you can continue to prosper even though there are controversies in these end times. Some people think, man, little old Israel, that little speck of land, that ain't going to mean nothing. we can wipe that out with one bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have to go to the heavy arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way people are thinking. You hear that. People say it in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmadinejad said, we want to just push you right into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of you. That's how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
So just notice that tension and realize that God's word is going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what he says here. This is what's going to happen to Israel, this last verse. And I will pour upon the house of David, that's folks who descend from the King David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me. Notice it says me.
Mm-hmm.
That's God.
That's
whom they have pierced. And then notice this, and they shall mourn for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Son of God.
Yes.
Who was also God. This verse intertwines God the Father and God the Son.
Amen.
I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Second person singular. As one mourneth for what? His only son. And shall be in bitterness for him. That's the one they rejected, the son. As one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Where does the idea of in bitterness for his firstborn take your mind? How about Exodus? When if you don't put the blood on the door, on the lintel, and on the post.
That's it.
that the angel of death is going to smite the firstborn. Does it take your mind there?
Yes.
Think about it. Now, that was a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus,
right,
who was the Lamb of God. He told him, take a lamb and twilight to put him to death. Take his blood, put it in a basin, and roast him entirely, and dine on it. And then when you get through, burn up everything that's left, a whole burnt offering. Yep. Take the blood in a basin with hyssop, right, and strike the lintel in the doorpost.
Yes.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you see? The lintel and the doorpost. And if I see the blood, I'll pass over.
Right.
When the angel of death,
hallelujah,
comes around.
Amen.
When I see the blood, I know you believe me because you did what I said. Remember I said that earlier?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe you when you do what I said. Suppose somebody killed the lamb, got the blood, said, oh, well, let me go in, go to bed.
That's it.
You know what would happen to them when they woke up? Your firstborn is dead. Because you didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
You believe me, put the blood on the door and on the post. Because when the angel of death comes, he's looking for the blood.
All about the blood.
That's right. Amen.
If I see the blood, I'm going to pass over.
Yeah.
Just skip your place and go to the next one. I know blood. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's obedience, church.
Yes.
Don't just hear what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Be ye doers of the work, is what James said. But now what I wanted you to see is that God has already shown you Israel's going to reject me, but I'm going to turn them around and I'm going to give them power above all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Now people won't want to hear that. Boy, some anti-Semitic people who are shaking in their boots if they hear that. Because people hate, look at this now, people don't only hate the church,
mm-hmm,
and they hate Jesus Christ because they think he's restrictive to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they also hate the Jews, the covenant people, who have rejected him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of strange, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You hate the church is preaching Jesus, the real church.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
There's a lot of folk out here who have something they call church,
mm-hmm,
but Jesus ain't got nothing to do with it.
Not a thing.
They don't have anything to say about Jesus. He's a byproduct. He's not the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I want you to see. Why did I say that this is going to be prospering through controversies of the end times? Because these are the times in which you and I live, first of all. Second of all, there is an urgent and great need for true disciples of Jesus Christ to discern the status of the professing church. That's people who say we are a church.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find one just about on every corner.
Yeah.
Or the visible church.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to discern between the professing church or the visible church and the actual or the real church. That's the first thing you got to discern. Who is it that's teaching the scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Who's teaching the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
There's one way to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The scriptures by God's word alone,
mm-hmm,
not by razzmatazz mixing it with, we're going to sprinkle some salt and call on up. Come on now.
Amen.
Show me that in the word. So there's a real church and then there's some folk playing church. And they might be doing it because they were misled. I don't know, and I'm not trying to analyze that. But we need to know, where are we?
Amen.
And we're going to have to, that's why I say there's an urgent need for the true disciples of Jesus to discern the status of the professing church or the visible church from the actual or the real church.
All right.
Who are the ones who are guided in accordance with the rightly divided word of truth, that's God's Bible, in order that they are operating in the realities taught by Jesus himself and not by the whims of compromise, which are governing the reality of what is referred to in the scriptures as mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Mystery Babylon is a woman seated upon a beast with 10 heads and 7 horns. And she's riding on the world, so to speak. But that's not the church.
That's not the church.
It's the whore, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots,
yes,
and of the abominations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you got to know who is the whore and who is the church, the bride.
All right, amen.
That's right.
Now that's tough. It's tight, but it's right. That's what the Bible says. Check and see who is the whore and who is the bride. There's a difference between the whore, the mother of harlots, and the bride. And we better check and make sure we know who we're listening to. See? It was such and similar blindness as this that caused Israel to fail to recognize the time of their visitation, over which Jesus wept because of their failure to realize and accept him in his first coming.
Right.
He was there.
Yes, he was.
They had the word.
Yes, he was.
Nobody else had the word but Israel. You ought to know what time it is.
That's right.
And I came exactly the way I said. Mm-hmm. You know what the proof is? Simeon believed. Mm-hmm. And he was praying in the Holy Ghost, Lord, let me see your Messiah before I mm-hmm. see death.
Yeah.
Anna believed.
Mm-hmm.
Mary believed.
Yes,
Joseph believed. Mm-hmm. Zacharias and Elizabeth believed.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptizer believed. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of Jews that believed.
Yeah.
They were the real Israel. Then there was Israel up there at the temple prancing around with a bunch of robes and suits on and razzmatazz and cheating people out of their offering and all that, selling sacrifices.
Yeah.
There was a mystery Babylon then, so to speak.
That's what it was.
But there were people at the pool of Bethesda had nothing to do with the church.
Nothing.
Or the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on the angel to come and trouble the waters.
Mm-hmm.
There's power over here in these five porticos covered over. None up there.
Yeah.
No need to go up there. Go down here.
Right.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the real people of God better look and see, what did God say?
Yeah.
Is this what I'm involved in?
Yeah.
Or I'm involved in some sham.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Out here professing to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
Can't learn nothing about Jesus in here.
Mm-hmm.
Been in here for an hour and I ain't heard nothing about Jesus. But I've heard about your prosperity and your chateau on the hill and how you're going to get your breakthrough and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about all that. What about the truth?
Yeah.
How about the word of God?
All right.
How about I need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus
yeah.
Christ?
Yeah. Amen.
How is it that the word sin is not mentioned in so many of these places?
Mm.
Sin ain't the problem. The problem is you have no faith. And it got nothing to do with sin. Yes, it does have to do with sin. Jesus died to pay the debt for my sin. I can't skip him and proclaim some kind of a victory. What good is that? What kind of victory is that going to be? That's why Jesus said there are two different ways to build. You can dig deep. One man dug deep and he built up on the rock. Remember that? Another guy built on sinking sand. And when the storms came, that's God's judgment, and the wind descended, the rains fell upon it, the house on sand was swept away because it was founded on the sand. But the one who dug deep and built his house on the rock stood even when the judgment came. That's what he said, right? And great was the destruction of that one built on the sand. You could build, you know what, on top where you look, boy, these are some fine houses. The one on the sand might look better because I didn't have to work so much in the ground, so I had more to spend up here on the top. But what's going to happen when the storm hit that bad boy? See what I'm saying? The one on the rock, I didn't have as much because I had to dig deep and put a foundation in. And I only got this much left up here on top. So you might look over there and go, oh boy, he's being way more blessed than you. But when the storm hits, that's what's going to discern the difference. See, so this is what I'm talking about. This is why we have to learn how to prosper through the controversies of the end times. There's a lot of things that are controversial. And remember the blindness of Israel. That's why Paul said that you have to look at Israel. He said it a number of times. Because the way things happened to them was written for your admonition and your instruction. Upon whom the ends of the age have come. That's what he said. So don't sleep what happened to them and let it happen to you. You see that?
Yes.
So this is what he spoke of here. And this is what I want you to see here. That in the prophecy of Zechariah, when God... Well, let's back up here. Which he caused, first of all, during his first... When Israel failed to realize and accept him in his first coming, which caused a judgment of a partial hardening. That's what the result of Israel rejecting Messiah was. He sent a partial hardening. So they're under the judgment of God right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, not all. There is some people in Israel who believe Jesus. There are Jews in the church that love Jesus. That believe he is the Messiah. And their heart is broken over the rest of Israel, like Paul was. That he says, my brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going on to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See that? To the Jew first, he came to them first. He came to his own, John said, his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, some of them did, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So we want to make sure you understand that you're in the right place on that. And it's very important because partial hardening has happened to them, which is over the majority of the Jews, till this day, even right now, and still remains until the time spoken of here in the prophecy of Zechariah. Now, what we read in Zechariah hasn't happened yet. But God has told you it's going to happen. What's the cue? The cue is Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel again. That was written by Zechariah before the first coming of Christ. See, and it never has happened yet in the history of the world. That means it's going to happen. What's the cue? Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The church who believes the word knows that. And she wakes up out of her sleep and says, when I see Jerusalem being the capital, better wake up. Time to wake up and get my act together. See that? Because this hasn't happened until now. And Zechariah wrote it before Jesus came the first time. Now notice this, and God in the prophecy of Zechariah, this blindness is going to remain until the time spoken of here in the prophecy of Zechariah, when God will reestablish the covenant people to become instruments of his judgment against the rebellious world of unbelievers who have also continued in their own ways against Jesus Christ, against his church, and even against the Jews. Think about that. The true church is hated by the world. Why? Because we're sticking the mud. They're saying, let's party and let the good times roll. We're saying, you better do what God said and do it his way.
That's right.
They're saying, oh, let's just have drugs for free to everybody and make them legal. Let's have prostitution be legal. Let's legalize all this stuff that we're guilty about. Let's let homosexual sin be legal. Let's let anybody marry anybody. Let's throw away everything God said. Throw it away. And let us do what we want to do. We're doing fine without it. That's what they're saying. What is the church saying? The church is saying, yeah, we've had the same sicknesses that you're trying to make legal, and God freed me from it. There is freedom from it. Well, that's, you can't say that. That's hate speech. No, it's not. It's the truth. It's not hate speech. It's not hate speech. I don't hate anybody. And you know what? I can tell you myself personally, I got a lot of stuff God freed me from. Now, I don't know about y'all. Y'all might be pretty clean. And y'all been doing fine and you ain't had no struggles with nothing.
Yeah, right.
See, but if you want to be free, God can do it.
Yes,
you
can.
He will.
He will do it if you trust him. He's not going to do it if you say throw it away and let's make it legal. So if you don't believe God, that's what it is. And I say when you believe God, it's accounted to you for righteousness. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means that I believe it. I'm struggling with some stuff now. I have stuff on my prayer list right now that I want God to take it out because it's not right.
Amen.
See, but I have a relationship with him. I'm talking to him about it. I agree with him about it. He ain't wrong, I am. And I trust you, Lord. And I believe you're going to take it away like you did the other stuff. And I'm going to trust you till you do. Or until I die, either one. Whichever comes first. That's why Peter said only he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Because sin is a constant problem.
Yes, it is.
But it's not going to be, you can't fix it by saying, oh, it's okay, go ahead, just do it, we'll make it legal. That ain't fixing it. It'd be like you went to the doctor and you got cancer. They go, oh, okay, here, let me get a Band-Aid. And you're good, you can go. No, cut that thing out. Get it out right now. Take it out. See what I mean? You ain't going to just tell them deal with that like that. No way. stick a Band-Aid on a Snoopy Band-Aid and send me home. No.
Cover it up.
See what I'm saying? So this is what I need you to understand, is that the true church will understand these things and they will stick to the word, because these people today, they hate the Jews and they are operating under the illusion that they have arrived to some kind of utopia, which has complete disregard of that which is clear in the Holy Bible, God's word. A complete disregard for God's word. So that's how you know there's something wrong with it. But this is the character that Jesus said you would see in the latter days. So he told you how it was going to be, me and you both. Now let's look at first at the Thessalonian epistle here, just a little bit. I just have a few words here. We studied the first part of this a week or so ago. And I want you to see here in chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Yeah.
So it has to do with the fact that sanctification is a continual process whereby God adjusts you from being the way you are to the way he wants you to be.
Amen.
He takes you from unclean to clean. He takes you from stuck on sin to freedom from sin. He takes you from unholiness to holiness. He's taking you from unrighteousness to righteousness. But there is a path, and you're going to go from an old way to a new way.
Yes.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Yes,
all things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
See? And so we're going to continue to progress closer and closer, more like Christ. So Paul says, I thank you. You know why he does? Because the same writer here says that we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen from the beginning, has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's a relationship and belief of the truth. That's his word.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in you when you got saved. God chose you, filled you with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Then he gives you his word. Now his word is going to be a washing and a cleansing to you. You are saved by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5 says. See, so it's a process. I wish I could say, oh, I got saved, bam, now I'm perfectly holy. I wish I could say that. But it doesn't work like that. It's through your relationship with God that you become more and more like Christ. That's why we have to be disciples. A disciple is a learner. You know, there's a lot of folk got disciples. Hell's angels got disciples. And they're learning how to be a hell's angel. Which I'm not interested in that. No, nothing against them, but I'm saying, you know, you have to learn. It's a learning experience. But Paul's thanking God for these Thessalonians here in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, God chose you from the beginning for salvation, and it's going to be through this process of sanctification through the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto, he says, he called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news that God knows exactly how tainted we are. But he loves you anyway.
Yes, he does.
Gave my son to cover you. When you trust him, I cover you entirely. And you're completely clean from the moment you believe him. See? And my spirit is going to come in to finish up the work that you need. And it's going to be my word and my spirit that continues to cleanse you and make you more and more like my son.
That's right.
I've given you a picture of him who would endure all that he suffered in order to buy you for me, to get you back. We call that redemption. He redeemed you through propitiation. He satisfied God entirely. And if I trust him, then I know. I can know that I'm saved.
Amen.
See? And that's not an excuse to sin, but it's a reason to get right.
Yeah.
It's not an excuse to sin. It's a reason to get right. See? And so notice what he says, telling these Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. whether by word or our epistle.
Right.
Epistle is a fancy word for letter, letters that Paul wrote.
Amen.
In other words, either you heard me preach it or I wrote you a letter about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the letters he wrote are right here between these covers. The ones that the Spirit wanted you to know. And notice this now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace.
Yeah.
In other words, we didn't deserve it, but God has given you everlasting consolation.
Great.
You see that? Through good and good hope.
Great.
Through grace.
Wow.
In other words, we didn't deserve it, but he gives it to us because we trust his Son.
Yes.
Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
See, that's God's finished work, we would say that he's, in God's mind, you're already finished.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Romans 8, the golden chain says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So that's all in the past tense in God's mind.
All done.
You've already been glorified.
Amen.
With the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we're in the midst. You say, well, what happened to sanctified? That's the part that we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Right here now. Sanctified is a process
where
God removes that old way you think and transforms you into a new way of thinking. That's why he says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, it's going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The writer to the Hebrews said it like this, and y'all know we were on this Tuesday and I'm almost done. Fix your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, fix your eyes on Jesus. You shouldn't be looking at anybody but Jesus.
Amen.
He is my model.
That's right.
He is the one I'm trying to be like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go look at Dr. Adams and say, well, you know, Doc got it together. And, which he does. I mean, he should be a good example too, just like me.
Yeah.
But I can't look to him.
No.
Right.
I got to look a little bit higher to Jesus.
Because
he's the author and the finish
right.
of our faith. And it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross.
Yeah.
Look at how ugly the cross was. That's the ugliest thing I could think of.
It is.
God coming in the flesh and people spitting on you and telling you you're guilty. Crucify him. Boy, that's ugly. That's as ugly as it gets. Here I am, came off my throne in glory. Came through a womb of a virgin. Born with none of your sin. Raised up in Nazareth. And went through all that I went through to be mocked and crucified. That's the ugliest it gets.
Yes, it is.
And I did it for you because there was no other way that you could be saved.
No other way.
So let's finalize our ideas here today, church. This is what I want you to understand here, moving on in this number two. That the partial hardening happened. Zechariah has established that God will reestablish the covenant with his people. They will become instruments of his judgment, even though they have rebelled against him all this time, against a world of unbelievers who have also continued in their own ways against Jesus the Christ, against the church, against the Jews, and they are operating under the illusion that they have arrived at some kind of a utopia, we said that, which has complete disregard for that which is clear in the Holy Bible, God's Word. They have disregarded the Word, and what we're going to do is just cover over it and say it's legal now. So we can do it because it's legal, because we make the law. Oh, okay. But Paul wrote to the Thessalonians to explain the way of the world, the way the world would be when it is time for Messiah to return. And he offers us a glimpse of the events that precede Christ's return and admonishes the church to realize that it is God who is behind our salvation, also him who gives us consolation to continue in ministry, as well as to know and understand the controversies of the end times so that we are informed and not surprised and can prosper against all odds. That's why God does that for you.
Yes.
Because he wants you to be informed.
Yeah.
You know what's happening. You know what? That was written, think about this, that was written about 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fresher than CNN.com or the Fox News channel.
Right.
got more information. They writing it. Oh, this is news. Israel, the capital of Jerusalem is back in Israel. Yeah, Zechariah said that before Jesus was born.
Amen.
The saints of God know that it was coming. We were looking for it.
Yeah.
Because in his word.
Mm-hmm.
And his word is true and the scripture cannot be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. See?
Yeah.
And they writing it. Oh, look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews are going, oh, we're going to put Trump on the coin right along with Cyrus.
Uh-huh.
Like it happened before. Wow, you think that's okay? Well, and you're watching it with inside information.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in that information, we're going to offer you right now the salvation that is available to you. God loves you just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves you too much to leave you that way. If you trust in his son, he will give you salvation.
Yes.
Salvation can only be free.
Mm-hmm.
No one has ever deserved to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's saved received it as a free gift.
That's right. Amen.
It's the gift of God, it says in Ephesians 2, that no man should boast. We have nothing to boast about.
None.
See, we do have one thing to boast about, that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
But we don't have anything to boast about in ourselves.
Right.
You know, because it's a gift from God. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That didn't even come from you. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See? So God wants you to be saved, whoever you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how long you've been doing it. He knows all about it. He still loves you. That's why he gave Christ even before you were born. And he configured the world around him so it'll be easy for you to believe him. Because your birth certificate is based on his birth certificate.
Yes, it is.
Your tombstone will be based on his tombstone.
Yes.
Which he didn't have. He had a tombstone, but he moved it out the way.
Right.
And got up and showed everybody that I'm still alive.
Right.
Only one who defeated death in the grave. Got up with all power in my hands.
All power.
Said all power is given to me. You know why it was given to him? Because he deserved it.
Yes, you did.
He tackled mankind and all of his foolishness. He defeated the devil and all the demons of hell.
He was.
And then he got up out the grave, defeated death.
Yes.
And shook off grave clothes and got up and said, it is me. He came right through the grave clothes. He didn't have to shake them off.
Because
he came in a new way, a different way.
Mm-hmm.
See, Lazarus, when he got up, he raised him in John 11. He had to tell him, undress him, loose him, and let him go.
Let him go.
When he got up, he came through the grave clothes and the stone. He didn't need to move nothing out the way.
Yeah.
But that Jesus is the one who loves you just like you are. And he wants you to know that you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to know it. And you know what? You ought to be glad about it, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you ought to be on fire about it.
Amen.
Because I bet you know somebody that's not saved.
Milo.
If you do, you know what? God wants them to be saved. You, each one of you will see somebody in your life that I will never see. There's people in your life I won't ever see.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in my life you probably won't ever see.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So whose responsibility is it to deal with those people?
Mm-hmm.
If he put you there, it's your responsibility.
That's right.
Walk the walk before them, and if they ask you why are you like you are, tell them, the Lord Jesus redeemed me.
Yes.
And he'll redeem you too. He loves you just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves you too much to leave you that way. And he'll make your life different. Amen. So if you're here today and you are not saved, we offer Christ to you. Amen. You may come at this time. If you know you need to be saved, you don't have to really do anything. I don't like to put people on the spot. But you need to believe in your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and tell it to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come today, Lord, because we have heard the gospel, the good news that you so loved us, you gave your only begotten Son. You said, whosoever, that includes me, whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For you sent not your son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so, Father, I want to be saved. I want you to save me, wash me, cleanse me, heal me, sanctify me, deliver me. I want to be with you on that day when the saints go marching in. And I want you to bless me, Lord, so you can use me as an instrument to touch other people's lives around me, that you have placed me in their sphere of influence. And Father, I'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. And I ask this in the name of your Son, the risen one, Jesus Christ, the Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're saved now and you weren't before, give God a praise. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are looking for a church home, we open the doors. St. Timothy is about to go into a new season.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. We're going to see some new things and see some cover some new ground and new territory.
Yes.
Already planning on it, been praying on it. So ask God what you can do to make that happen. And if you want to be a part of this body of Christ, this section of the body of Christ, we may only be a leg over here or something as a church. But we're going to make that leg shake and get some things done.
All right, now.
Amen. Whatever part of the body we are, we want to be a good part. Amen. And we want to go out spreading the good news. It's so simple. That's why God made it simple. Realize we're a little over time, but I'm going to go ahead. We have done as God commands, and we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen. Amen.